From theunce.com, this is the Unce Podcast. Featuring artist interviews, unreleased tracks, and previews of the biggest events in electronic music. Available every week at theunce.com.
Hello and welcome to the Unce Podcast. I'm your host, Anand Harsh. Today we close out part two of my interview with downtempo, glitch hop, and dubstep producer Alicia. She's a Vancouver native who's been on the scene for more than a decade, spinning drum and bass, glitch and breaks, in addition to emceeing and singing. She's a founding member of Glitch Hop Form and has been instrumental in bringing the genre to the forefront of today's electronic music scene with records on Daily City and Simplify Recordings. Her latest EP, Reverie, is out now on Moody Music. Today's episode is brought to you by Tall Tree Lake Festival, taking place September 23rd and 24th in Gorville, Illinois. This year's lineup features Conspirator, Blue Tech, Mansions on the Moon, Spankalicious, Fresh to Death, and today's guest, Alicia. This really is a great festival. Do yourself a favor and check it out. More information at talltreelakefestival.com. Before we get to the Alicia interview, let's honor her love for punk and industrial music with a new track from Atari Teenage Riot. The German digital hardcore act is releasing a new album on Dimmock Records and is encouraging its fans to help them make their Black Flags video. Visit atari-teenage-riot.net for more info. Here's Activate. Later on down the road in September, you're going to be one of the headliners at Tall Tree Lake Festival. Unlike a lot of festivals you're playing this summer, there are going to be a lot of down-tempo acts like Blue Tech and live Tronico like Conspirator, and then there's going to be Bluegrass. Do you think you'll change up your approach, go more down-tempo, or do you think you'll say, okay, you know, it's time to stand out and just hit dubstep hard? I don't know if you've thought about it yet. It's still a ways down the road.
I think that being around for such a long time and also coming at it from being a DJ and not necessarily just being a producer, like, I'm very, very sensitive to environment and time of day. And there is nothing that pisses me off more than coming into a festival at 4 p.m. when the sun is out and everybody's chilling and hearing slamming bro step. You know? And The thing is like, I definitely believe in being true to what you do, but what I do encompasses so many different directions that it's quite easy for me to adapt to an environment. And in fact, I even welcome it. I do play a lot of headline club banging time sets. So, you know, I'll play my harder stuff. And I actually saw somebody post online recently, oh yeah, Alicia, yeah, her live sets are a lot harder than the stuff she releases. You know, and I thought, well, no, it's just that you guys keep booking me at times when I need to play this element of my music. And I'm definitely very always excited to play daytime sets, always excited to play more live environments, because I have a whole roster of down-tempo and mellow and vocal stuff that I don't actually get to play 90% of the time. The EP I just put out on Simplify, I don't know if you checked it out, but It's definitely from that more down-tempo perspective. And I would say I rarely get the chance to even play those tracks. So probably for Tall Tree, I'll be doing a lot more of my experimental and live elements, because I feel like I'm going to be in an environment where people are going to really appreciate that.
I wonder, you seem to have really compartmentalized, these are your dubstep tracks, these are your down tempo tracks, these are your glitch hop tracks. Do you go in bursts, like you'll just make a bunch of bangers right in a row, and then, you know, for the next month after that you're doing more chill and down tempo music? Or is it just based on what side of the bed you get up on?
Pretty much the second one. I mean, there's kind of a mix, you know, like I do a lot of remixes, and definitely sometimes the people who ask me to remix have an agenda or a direction in mind that they want me to go. And, you know, I do film scoring work and music editing, and part of my background in that also kind of assists me to create a mood, you know, and curate it based on maybe someone else's intention. So I don't mind doing that. But when it comes to just purely my own stuff, it really does depend on how I'm feeling. And definitely I'm also into balancing. So if I've been writing a lot of sappy emo down tempo stuff, I'll wake up and say, get over it, write some party music, time to get out of this mood. And then conversely, if I've just been writing more bangers for a while, I definitely feel the need to sit at home and cry softly over my piano keys or
with the Golden Mean from Reverie. We talked about him enough last episode. Here's Freddie Todd with a cut from Painting in a Silent Eternity. Grit Platter from Freddie Todd's Painting in a Silent Eternity.
Let's talk then about the newest release on Moody Music. I've heard the album Reverie already, and as you indicated, you wanted this release to sound a little funkier than normal, and I think you accomplished that. What was your agenda with it?
Well, you know, I had just finished all of the Simplify EP, which is a lot more emotional, introspective stuff, and I'd also been making some harder stuff, and you know, just to augment more of my sets in these peak times. And the hard stuff was also kind of a bit of a reaction to hearing people describe me as an ambient dubstep, and I went, oh God, you know, I don't want to be stuck in the canned down-tempo section and whatever. So yeah. I did that for a while, and then when Moody asked me to make an EP, I just saw this opportunity, I guess, to explore this whole other side of myself. I mean, I love funk and soul, and a lot of people will notice that, you know, my vocal style and everything is definitely distinctly related to R&B, classic mm-hmm. stuff like that, and jazz. And so for me, that was like, oh, you know what? I want to make a really happy, funky album that just really expresses that side of me. And I think it was a cosmic thing because I ran into Dov a couple weeks before I even showed him the first track off the album. And he said something like, you know, sometimes your music reminds me of Prince. And I thought, well, okay, I guess I'm going in the right direction then.
You can't be wrong with that.
And, you know, I'm really happy that I did it because I feel like it balances a whole element. I don't want to be this heavy emo person. I don't want to be this banger person. I'm just a person that has the same range of emotions and feelings as anyone else does. And that's definitely, like, I do actually have fun as well.
I'm glad you mentioned Dove because Moody is up there with Simplify as one of these labels that's really putting out some very progressive, very interesting stuff. They're taste-making labels. What do you think it is about Dove and his ability to corral the right artists and give them maybe no direction or the right a little amount of direction? What is it about Moody that you think has you know, put it where it is?
Well, I think Moody in particular, you know, they were one of the first labels that when I first got into Glitch Hop, it was sort of them and maybe Daily City, but they've always had a fierce focus. And, you know, one of the things that Dov does that makes him amazing is he's just very, very dedicated to promoting, to connecting, to exploring new places. I mean, he's from South Africa. He's lived in a lot of different countries. And so I see Moody and him as taking a really global interest in music, you know, instead of just signing people from San Francisco or from some region, they're getting South African hip hop and they're getting, you know, crunk. And I'll be the first to say that, like, their style is diverse enough that sometimes I love what they put out and sometimes I don't quite get it. But I think that mm-hmm. That's exactly their strength, is that they've really reached out into every single corner of IDM, you know, in that genre that's currently available. And they take a lot of risks that other people won't take. And at the same time, have the solid promotion and the dedication to back it up, you know. And a lot of these new labels that are coming out today are kind of run by artists who don't have a lot of time necessarily to dedicate. And Dov, I mean, he certainly performs out and he certainly is an artist, but he puts the label first always, and it shows.
We'll be right back. I hope you won't be offended by this, but I feel like Pretty Banger on Reverie definitely had some synth work that was perhaps influenced by R.D. White. I know you did some dates with R.D. Do you feel like you're maybe consciously or subconsciously capturing sounds from all these other people in the community? Because you're so deep in the scene, you're surrounded by it. Do you maybe do things as homages, or is it just, you know, you're out there and it's being soaked in against your will?
I think everybody has been influenced by things that, you know, by things that they hear and things that happen in your life. Although I would say if I was paying homage to anybody with that track, it would probably be more like Joker.
Ah, okay.
Because, I mean, I was on tour with RD really recently. That track has actually been kicking around for a while. But I'm definitely, you know, the first to say I have influences just like anyone else. I would say that my core influences in a lot of, especially when I make dubstep sort of stuff, is more like Timbaland and Joker and all the people that brought sort of melancholy jazz scales into dubstep. And I think also it's a reactionary thing. You know, the more mid-range screaming tea kettle sandpaper power tool music I hear, the more I want to make melodies and things with emotion. And Pretty Banger, even the title itself, it was actually a temporary working title that just once I gave it out to a couple of my friends, it sort of locked into their music collections. And I was like, well, what is it? It's kind of a banger, but it's really pretty, you know? And
and maybe that's why I hear that R.D. sound, that on top of that really beautiful synth work, it is very melancholy. And if you listen to R.D.'s album, that stuff is very, you know, very soaked in passion and sort of heartbreak.
And I love his music. And I mean, I definitely, there's a circle of more melodic artists that I've been playing a lot with, like Stefan Jacobs, Glad Kill, Russ Liquid, all those guys. And I would say they influence me all the time. And I think we all influence each other. You know, it's definitely through some of the people I've been friends with in the scene. Sometimes I'll make a new track and I'll feel like I borrowed something from them, and then vice versa. You know, it's, we all sort of share that musical energy, because sometimes I don't even feel like it comes from me anyway. Sometimes it just seems to flow through. And I would certainly say that a lot of my friends and the people whose music I love is permeating that surface.
Here's some RD for you. This is his remix of the James Blake masterpiece, The Wilhelm Scream. Let's move from RD to another Alicia favorite. This is Love and Light with Stefan Jacobs, Let Me Love You.
We're going to close out this set with Alicia's Slide Over.
Slide Over features some of your vocal work. I wonder at this point, during the creative process, when do you say, I'm going to add vocals to this, or this is going to be instrumental only? I wonder what your process is, and when you know maybe that you can't touch a track anymore, that it's done and vocals would maybe make it more murky, or that vocals are definitely necessary to elaborate the story that you're telling with the music.
Well, me and vocals have actually had a very touchy relationship over the last few years. One of the things that came up a lot is that people really believe that women are only vocalists when it comes to the scene. And, you know, unfortunately, often that's true. Like, a lot of girls that I've met that say they make tracks are, in fact, collaborating with a better engineer who's doing all the work. So when I made Circadian Rhythms for Daily City a couple of years ago, I purposely, you know, even if I felt like it needed a vocal, I didn't do any vocals, because I thought at the end of the day, if you see this album by Alicia and there's no vocals on it, you can't assume that she did the vocal. You know, so that was sort of on purpose. And, you know, the fun thing about that is that created a lot of fans who had no idea that I even sang until they saw me live and were just like, whoa, you know. And now that I feel like I've balanced that out a bit, I mean, a song to me, most of the time, if it's going to be a vocal track, it starts out with the vocals. I play piano. That's my first instrument. And I tend to sit around at the piano sometimes. I'll have a melody. I'll write a song. And after that, I'll backwards engineer it. I'll make a bass music track out of it. Occasionally, usually if I'm making a track and it needs vocals after the fact, it's usually affected samples. You know, I might record myself and resample. I wouldn't consider it a vocal track per se. So I would say that if it's going to be a vocal track, it starts out that way.
Okay. Okay. So after this interview, I guess you're taking off for Shambhala in BC. Any more with your time spent on the West Coast and relentless touring? What's it like for you to go home, not just for the crowds, but also to be on your home court, essentially?
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I haven't had enough. People keep asking me, how's San Francisco? I said, well, you know, the airport is okay. It's got some nice food. I'm actually really, I haven't, you know, to be honest, it's been a little crazy because I moved here and started touring crazily immediately. So I haven't had a lot of time to just sink in at home. But I will say that my new city, the response is really incredible. You know, when I do play in town, people have come out to support. When I threw my CD release party, I'd only been living there for a month, and so many people came out to support. So I think that, you know, the Bay Area is absolutely spoiled for having support and having creative, wonderful people backing you up, because there are so many talented people that not only live here, but feel compelled to come out and support you when you're there. And it's a really family kind of feeling. And, you know, not to talk any trash about Vancouver, because Vancouver is my home and I'll always love it. And it's actually got a fantastic scene that's always growing. But I definitely found that people there were a little more passive. You know, you could throw a show if it was decent weather and if people remembered and they didn't smoke too much pot, you know, they might show up. And in San Francisco, I think people probably smoke just as much pot. But for some reason, they're just like, there's this event going on. This person's playing. I gotta go. you know?
Yeah.
And so I really love it here, and I definitely feel like it's a welcoming, inspiring community of people creating, you know?
That's perfect. Well, we wish you luck with Shambhala. We wish you luck with this new album coming out. Alicia, thanks so much for being on the UNS podcast.
Thank you.
That's going to do it for today's episode. Special thanks go to Darren Goldberg and Aaron Dvorak with Madero Group, Aaron Simpson with Simplify Recordings, Dove from Moody Music, and of course my guest Alicia. Her new album Reverie is out now on Moody Music. This Thursday, the UNS launches its 2011 Digital Music Sampler, featuring new tracks from Bass Nectar, Thievery Corporation, Low Bounce, Future Rock, EP3, Ski Tones, and more. We've got a couple of tracks from Freak Nasty and an awesome remix from Ill Gates thrown into the mix. You'll be able to get flyers featuring our digital sampler's QR code at each stop on the Identity Fest tour. Scan the QR code with your smartphone, and each of these tracks will be available for stream or download. Stay tuned for more information. Go to theuns.com/contest to win free tickets, and please visit theuns.com for news, artist profiles, and tour dates from across the electronic music spectrum. And go ahead and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Write us a review, tell us what you think of the show. If you have any questions, comments, or complaints about the program, you'd like to be a guest on the UNS podcast, or you'd like to sponsor an episode, contact me at anand@theuns.com. That's ANAND @theuns.com. Catch you next week.